This week's Parsha is Parshas Behar, and we will start our Shiur in chapter 25, verse number 1, the beginning of the Parsha. Just to summarize, the Parsha deals with the laws of the sabbatical year, the Shemitah, and the laws of the Jubilee year, which means that in those years, the seventh year of the cycle, you're not allowed to plant, you're not allowed to harvest your crops. And then on the Jubilee year, which is the 50th year of the cycle, you're not allowed to do the same. So the verse says, Vaydaber Hashem el Moshe, Hashem spoke to Moshe, Behar Sinai, on Mount Sinai, Leimor, saying, and this deals with the laws of the sabbatical year, as we mentioned. The first Rashi of this week's Parsha asks a question, Ma'inyan Shemitah Etzel Har Sinai, why in regards to the laws of Shemitah, it's mentioned that it was said at Mount Sinai, Valoi kol mitzvahs nemrom Sinai, all the mitzvahs were given in Sinai. Rashi answers that the Torah means to tell us that in the same way the laws of Shemitah were given, the minute details and the general details at Sinai, so too all the mitzvahs of the Torah, the general rules and the minute rules were given at Sinai. Still, the question remains, why specifically did the Torah choose the mitzvah of Shemitah of the sabbatical year to teach us that all the mitzvahs were given the minute details and the general details at Sinai? Meaning, I understand that the Torah has to teach us one mitzvah that was given the minute details and the general details at Sinai. Like that, I learned for all the mitzvahs that the general rules and the minute rules were given at Sinai. But why did the Torah specifically pick the laws of the sabbatical year to be that mitzvah that teaches that all the mitzvahs were given at Sinai? We mentioned different answers in previous years, but this year we are going to try to give the answers of the Divrei Yoyel. The next verse says, Daber el bnei Israel, tell the Jewish people, v'amartu aleihem, and say to them, Kisavoyu el haaretz, when you come to the land, asher ani noitzen lochem, that I give to you, v'shov sa haaretz, shabbos lashem, and the earth will rest as Shabbos to Hashem. Rashi says, what does it mean, Shabbos Lashem? Leshem Hashem, for the sake of Hashem. Keshem Shenemar, Shabbos Bereshis, as it was written in Shabbos Bereshis, in the Shabbos of the week, meaning the seventh day of the week, which we are required to rest and not do any work, so too it should be done on the seventh year. We have to understand what does Rashi mean, like it was written in Shabbos Bereshis. Why do we need a comparison to tell us that this is the same thing as the Shabbos of Bereshis? Rashi could have just written Kamoy Shenemar B'Shabbos, like it was written in Shabbos, and automatically I would know that it is talking about the Shabbos that we always know. Then why does Rashi say here Shabbos Bereshis, Shabbos Bereshis? We are going to skip to Pasuk number 20, where in Pasuk number 20, after the laws of the sabbatical year and the laws of the Jubilee year, the verse asks, V'chisoimru, if you are going to ask, Manoichal Bashono Ashvis, what are we going to eat in the seventh year? Henloi Nizra, it was not planted, and we couldn't gather our crops. The verse continues and says, V'sivises Brichosilochem Bashono Ashishis, I will command my blessing to you on the sixth year, V'asas Zatvuo Lishloish Ashonim, and the crop will yield enough for the duration of 3 years. It is known the question of the Noam Elimelech, which the Noam Elimelech brings from his brother, Reb Zisha, which Reb Zisha asks that this is not the way of the Torah. Usually the Torah does not ask a question and an answer, meaning that the whole verse that says, if you are going to ask me what I'm going to eat on the seventh year, since it was not planted and not gathered, the whole verse is obsolete. Because since the verse could have just said, V'sivisyas birchos elohem bashon ha'shishis, I will command my blessing to you on the sixth year, and then the yield will last for 3 years, automatically you will know the answer, what you are going to eat on the years where you didn't plant. Because since the blessing is going to come in advance, you know you are going to be able to eat. Then the Noam Elimelech brings from his brother, that his brother asks, why does the Torah go out of his way to write the question, when it would be good enough just to write the answer automatically, I wouldn't have any questions anymore. Meaning, if the Torah would have just written down that Hashem will command the blessing on the sixth year, and that will last for 3 years, automatically you will know what you are going to eat on the other years, then why does the Torah need to write down the question? We are going to bring a different answer to this question, but since the answer of Rav Zusha is a foundation in Emunah, we are going to say it quickly in order to review that foundation. And Rav Zusha answers that Hashem has the pipes of Parnassah ready for every person, meaning that every single Jew has his Parnassah ready from Hashem and it's just waiting for him to get it. But as soon as this person starts asking a question, where I'm going to get the Parnassah, is starting to doubt that Hashem is bringing him his livelihood, that doubt causes the pipes of Parnassah to stop and his Parnassah is therefore interrupted. Because since he doesn't trust Hashem for his livelihood, then Hashem does not send him automatically his livelihood. And therefore, the Torah is telling you here that even though you are going to ask on the seventh year what I'm going to eat, meaning that if you keep the laws of the sabbatical year and you are going to ask what I'm going to eat on the years that it was not planted and not gathered, and normally if you start asking this question, the pipes of Parnassah should have stopped and then technically you should have lost your Parnassah. But in the case of the sabbatical year, the Torah promises that the Torah again is going to renew the blessing and you are going to have enough food that you are going to last up to the ninth year, as the Torah states. Meaning that normally when you start asking this question, you should have lost your livelihood altogether. But in regards to the sabbatical year, the Torah is telling you that Hashem is going to command his blessing and you are not going to lose it, even though you asked Hashem what you are going to get. So we see from this Rav Zusha how important it is to have total emunah in Hashem, and only when we have total emunah, total belief and trust in Hashem, that is when Hashem gives us our livelihood without any hassles. That is the answer of the Noam Elimelech. But the Divrei Yoel gives a different answer, and the Divrei Yoel says that the meaning of this question that the Jewish people are going to ask should not be interpreted as a lack of emunah on the part of the Jewish people, meaning a lack of trust in Hashem on the part of the Jewish people. The question, what we are going to eat on the seventh year, should be interpreted in a different way. And to interpret this, he brings the Medrash Rabbah in the beginning of Parshas Vayetze, Parshas Samaches, Simon Beis, where there the Torah is dealing about the story after Yaakov received the blessing from Yitzchak and Esav felt that Yaakov cheated him and Esav wants to kill Yaakov and Yaakov runs away to Lavan, but he runs away empty-handed without anything, so much so that he has to work for the hand of Rachel and Leah. There the Medrash brings down Rav Shmuel Bar Nachman Posach, that Rav Shmuel Bar Nachman started to interpret the verse in Tehillim, in Psalms, chapter 121, verse number 1, where the verse says, Shir Lamalo is a song for ascension. Eso Einai Elohorim, I will raise my eyes on the mountains. Me'ayin Yavo Yezri, from where my salvation will come. There the Medrash says that we're not supposed to read the words Elohorim to the mountains. We're supposed to read the words Esuainai, that I will raise my eyes Elohorim to my parents, the Melafnai, for those who teach me, Ulamavdini, for those who make me, meaning that I will look at my forefathers and see the difference. Mak Sivbei, what is written when Yitzchak wanted to get married? There in Parshas Chayesora, Bereshis, chapter 24, verse number 10, it's written, Vaikach Evet, that the slave took, meaning Eliezer Evet Avram, Eliezer the servant of Avram, took Asorag Malim, 10 camels, Migmale Adonav, from the camels of the father, meaning that he came with a huge wealth. And in verse number 22, we see that he actually gave gifts to Rivka. But the marriage continues and says that Vani and me, meaning Yaakov, Loi Nezem Echot, Veloi Tzomid Echot, I don't even have one nose ring and I don't have one bracelet, meaning I came without anything. And the Medrash goes on and continues to debate why he didn't have anything, either he came out without anything or that Esav took his wealth from him. As a side note, the Medrash doesn't say that Eliphaz, the son of Esav, took from him. The Medrash says that Esav himself took the wealth from Yaakov. But nonetheless, it seems that Yaakov is complaining that he doesn't have any wealth. Then the Medrash continues and says, Chozar ve'omar, after Yaakov realized that he doesn't have anything, he continued and says, Mani moivet sivri min boryai, what am I doing? Am I separating my trust from Hashem? Chaz v'sholem, heaven forbid, lesanu moivet sivri min boryai, I will not remove my trust in Hashem. Therefore, he said what is written in the verse, Ezri me'im Hashem, my salvation is from Hashem, oise shomayim v'oretz, the one who created heaven and earth. Meaning that the simple interpretation of the Medrash seems to imply that Yaakov Avinu was lacking in trust in Hashem. He was complaining about the situation that he doesn't have anything and his forefathers had so much. And afterwards he says that I will not remove my trust from Hashem. And therefore he says that my trust is from Hashem, the creator of heaven and earth. The Divrei Yoel brings that a lot of Mefarshim ask in regard to this Medrash, how can it be that Yaakov Avinu, which is Bechira Avos, which is the best of our forefathers, because he only had righteous children, is the one that is doubting Hashem, that he is despairing when he has no money. And then he says that what the Medrash says seems to contradict exactly what he would feel. Because the Medrash says that we are not supposed to read Esu Eina El Harim, I raise my eyes towards the mountains, but it's supposed to read Esu Eina El Hahorim, I'm supposed to raise my eyes towards my teachers, towards those who taught me, towards those who created me. We know those who taught Yaakov Avinu is in the Beis Medrash of Shem Ve'Ever, his father Yitzchak and Avraham Avinu, those are those who taught him. And Yaakov Avinu is saying that I raise my eyes towards those who taught me and towards my parents, and then I despair because I don't have money. It does not make sense. Why would he despair? Clearly, if you would look up to Avraham Avinu, when Avraham Avinu was told by Hashem, Lech Lecha, leave your land, Avraham Avinu went without asking any questions. Then we see clearly that Avraham Avinu has emun in Hashem. Then what does it mean? I look up towards my parents and towards those who taught me, and then I see that I have nothing and I'm despairing. Quite opposite, if you would look up to those parents, then he would get solace. He would have trust in Hashem that Hashem will protect him and Hashem will give him everything that he needs. The Divrei Yoel answers this question based on the Gemara in Tainis Daf Chavdalet Omed Aleph 24a, where there the Gemara is telling stories regarding great sages. The Gemara there says that in regards to Elazar Ishbirta, as soon as the administrators of charity funds would see him, the administrators would run away, because Elazar ben Birta was known that he would give everything that he had for charity. And the administrator of the fund felt bad taking all that Elazar Ishbirta had. One day, Elazar ben Birta is going to the marketplace to buy a trousseau for his daughter, and as soon as the administrators of the charity fund see him, they start running away. Elazar Ishbirta perceives that they are running away, so he runs after them, and he finally reaches them, and he forces the administrators of charity to tell him what are they collecting for, meaning that those people used to collect for people that were less fortunate. So Elazar Ishbirta was asking them, what are you collecting for? They said that we are collecting for an orphan and orphan girl which are getting married and they need funds to get married. Elazar Ishbirta says that I swear that they come before my daughter, and he gave them all the money that he had to buy the trousseau for his daughter, he gave to them, and all was left for him was one zuz. So what did he do? He took that zuz and bought wheat, and he came home and he threw those wheat into the granary. Clearly, it was a small amount of wheat, because a zuz is a small amount of money. The wife of Elazar Ishbirta comes home, and she asks the daughter, what did your father buy for your trousseau? The daughter answers, I don't know what he bought, but whatever he bought, he threw in into the granary. In truth, she had seen that the father only bought a small package of grains, but she didn't want to tell her mother, so she said, whatever my father bought, he threw it into the granary. The wife went to look what was in the granary, and she couldn't open the door because there was so much grains inside that the grains came out of the hinges, and the door couldn't be pushed in because it was so full. The daughter of Rav Shbirta quickly ran to the Beis Medrash and said to his father, "Come and see what the one who loves you has done for you." Meaning, see the miracle that Hashem did for you. Omar La, Elazar Ishbirta tells his daughter, "Ha'avoida, I swear by the temple service, Harein Hekdesh Olaich, that this grain should be consecrated property to you, Ve'einlach Bohem Eloke Echad Mani Yisrael, and you have no more share in them than any other poor person in Israel." Meaning you are not allowed to benefit from the whole grain. Rashi asks, why can't he benefit from the grain? Rashi explains, Mishum de Masa Nisim Hu, since this was done by a miracle, the Asur La'odom La'hanois Mi Masa Nisim, and a person is prohibited from deriving benefit from something done by a miracle. And Rashi brings us proof, what is written previously in Daf Chof Omed Beis 20b, where there says that a person should not ask for a miracle, because if they make a miracle, then menakin loy mizich yosef, they reduce the miracle from the merits, meaning that you have merits in heaven from the good deeds that you have performed during your lifetime. And if you benefit from a miracle, then they remove the merits that you had in order to compensate for that miracle. And the Gemara brings a proof there that since it's written on Parshas Vayishlach, Bereishis chapter 32, verse number 11, when Yaakov Avinu was getting ready to fight against Esav, he was afraid of Esav, even though Hashem had promised him that he's going to protect him. Then the question becomes, why was Yaakov afraid? So Rashi, Yaakov Avinu answers by saying, "Katointi mikol hachasadim mikol emes asher osiso zavdecho," that I have become diminished, meaning my merits have become diminished from all the kindness and all the truth that you did to your servant, meaning all the miracles you showed your servant, that caused my merits in heaven to become diminished. And since my merits are diminished, now I'm afraid of Esav. Therefore, Rashi says, from here you see that you cannot benefit from a miracle. Because of that, Elazar Ishbita didn't want his daughter to benefit from this miracle, and therefore he says that's prohibited of you from deriving benefit from this miracle. Meaning, even though Hashem did it without asking, nonetheless, since it was done clearly by a miracle, and Rashi says that you're not allowed to benefit from a miracle. Then the Divrei Yoel brings the Taz that he reserved on Siman Tov Reish Ayin on Hilchas Chanukah, where the Tirei Zov answers the famous question of the Beis Yosef, where the Beis Yosef asks the question, if there was enough oil found to last for one day, and it ended up lasting for 8 days, then why do we celebrate Hanukkah for 8 days? We should only celebrate Hanukkah for 7 days, since only 7 days was the miracle. There was enough oil for the first day. The Taz claims that even the first day retroactively was found to possess a miracle. What was the miracle? He brings the Zohar, that the Zohar states on the verse in Melachim 2, chapter 4, verse number 2, where there the Navi is discussing that a woman came in front of Elisha crying that she has nothing in the house, and her husband, who was a very pious man, and if she does not pay his debt, then they will take two of the children as slaves. Elisha asks the woman, "What do you have in the house?" And the woman answers that, "I have nothing in the house, just a little bit of oil." Then Elisha tells the woman that she should borrow vessels from her neighbor, and he starts pouring the oil, and the oil keeps filling up all the vessels until there is no more vessels, then the oil stops. The Tirei Zov brings the Zohar, where the Zohar there explains that this miracle could have only happened because she had a little bit of oil. That Hashem could make that a little bit could make a lot, that the bracha could go in a lot, but when you have nothing, then Hashem does not make the miracle, because Hashem tries not to create new creations. Because Hashem only normally makes miracles yesh meyesh, in other words, he expands something from something, but he doesn't make miracles, yesh me'ayin, something from nothing. Therefore, the Tirizov says that in order for the miracle to happen on the second day and the other days, there had to be oil remaining on the first day. And since there was only enough oil for one day, that retroactively it had to be that there was some oil remaining even on the first day. Therefore, the Taz says we celebrate also the first day as a day of miracle, because a miracle happened on the first day that some oil remained in order for the miracle to continue on the other days. Going back to the idea of the Zohar that the Taz brings, that the Zohar says that Hashem only makes miracles, yesh me yesh, something from something, meaning when there is something is there, then he expands, but normally he does not make miracles, yesh me'ayin, something from nothing, because Hashem does not want to create things. The Divrei Yoel brings the Yismach Moshe in Parshas Toldos, where the Yismach Moshe says that this is true only when the blessing comes through a shliach, through a messenger. Like in our case, where the blessing came to Elisha, in that case, the prophet Elisha only has the right to make yesh me'yesh, to make something from something. But when the blessing comes directly from Hashem, nothing could hold back Hashem, and Hashem is able to make anything He wants, and He even could make the miracle yesh me'ayin, something from nothing. But clearly, a miracle yesh me'ayin, something from nothing, meaning to create a new thing, is a greater miracle than yesh me'yesh, than expand something that is already there. And if we see that Elazar ish Barta did not want to have benefit from the grains that Hashem multiplied, because he had a bag of grains, it just became multiplied and the granary became full, that means that his miracle there was yesh me'yesh, something from something, and Elazar ish Barta felt that you're not supposed to have benefit from it, because if you have benefit from it, then Hashem reduces your merit, then clearly Hashem would reduce the merit from somebody who enjoys a miracle, yesh me'ayin, something from nothing. Because if a smaller miracle causes your merits to be deduced, clearly a greater miracle would cause your merits in heaven to be even more reduced. According to this, Divrei Yoel explains that the Medrash in Parshas Vayetze in regards to Yaakov Avinu means quite differently. It means to say the following. Yaakov Avinu knew for sure that Hashem is going to protect him, that Hashem is going to take care of him. But Yaakov Avinu was worried that since he has nothing, obviously Hashem is going to make a miracle to give him things. And therefore, he was worried. He was worried in regards to the merits that he's going to lose by Hashem making the miracle. And the Medrash is explained this way, that Yaakov Avinu looked Elehoirim, to his forefathers, to those who taught him and those who made him, where they taught Yaakov Avinu that you're not supposed to have benefit from miracles, that whenever you have benefit from miracles, then Hashem deduces his merits. Because of that, Yaakov Avinu became worried, me'ayin yavoy ezri, that since he doesn't even have a noseband and no bracelet, then it is not possible to make a miracle now, yesh me'yesh, something from something, because since he has nothing, there is nothing to be blessed, there is nothing to make more of, like the oil of Elisha. Therefore Hashem would have to make a miracle, yesh me'yayin, something from nothing. And if Hashem makes a miracle, yesh me'yayin, something from nothing, then his merit is going to be diminished. Therefore he was crying, me'yayin yavoy ezri, that from nothing Hashem is going to help me. Meaning he knew that Hashem is going to help him, but he was worried that Hashem's help now is going to be yesh me'yayin, Hashem is going to give him from nothing. And if Hashem does that, then since he learned by his forefathers that whenever Hashem makes a miracle, Hashem deduces from the person's merits, therefore Yaakov was worried that Hashem is going to make a miracle for him, me'ayin, from nothing, and thereby causing Yaakov's merits to be lost. The Divrei Yoel continues and explains the continuation of the Medrash, where Yaakov Avinu changed his mind and he said that Chas v'Sholom heaven forbid that I'm going to take away my trust from Hashem. And he continued what the verse says, Ezri Meim Hashem, my help comes from Hashem, Oise Shomayim V'aretz, the creator of heaven and earth. He explains this based on the Sefer Beishmul Achroin, which the Sefer Beishmul Achroin brings the Gemara in Erchin, Daf Tez Zayin Amid Beis, 16b, where there the Gemara says, Boy Minay Rav Shmuel Bar Nadav, Merab Chanina, Rav Shmuel Bar Nadav asks a question from Rav Chanina, and some say, Rav Shmuel Bar Nadav, the son-in-law of Rav Chanina, asks a question from Rav Chanina, and some say that he asked a question from Rav Shmuel Levi, and the question was, why is a Metzoyra different that the Torah says in Vayikra chapter 13, verse number 46, Badot Yeshev, that he should sit alone, Michutz Lamachne, Meishavoy, outside the encampment should be his dwelling, meaning that somebody who has the disease that causes discoloration of the skin is required to sit outside the encampment alone. Why does he have to be alone? So Rav Shmuel Bar Levi answered, Hu hivdil ben ish leishtoy, he separated between man and woman, ben ish lere'eyu, between man and his fellow, lefichach amra toira, therefore the Torah says, Badot Yeshev, that he should sit alone, michutz lamachane meishavoy, that his dwelling should be outside the encampment. Meaning that since normally the blemishes on the skin come because a person speaks lashon hara, derogatory remarks on somebody else, and a person speaks derogatory remarks on somebody else, and the wife hears about it, then it causes strife between a wife and a husband, between a man and his fellow. Therefore, since this person is the one that causes problems and he causes separation between a man and his fellow, therefore the Torah tells you that he should sit outside the encampment. And the Beis Shmuel Achroin brings the Medrash Shmuel, which is also the same words as the Or HaChaim HaKodesh in the beginning of Parshas Metzora, by the words Zois Tia Torah Zametzora, where the Or HaChaim HaKodesh and the Medrash Shmuel explain that since this disease of Metzora is a disease that comes through a discoloration of the skin, and when a person normally has a discoloration of the skin, he becomes depressed, and normally the cure of depression is that he should be together with other people, that people should lift up his spirits. But here the Torah wants a person to repent, and therefore the Torah tells that this person should go outside the encampment against the natural behavior, and only then he will be cured. And Sefer Beish Mulachron is wondering, how is it possible that Hashem should make a new cure against nature when we know Hashem does not want to change nature? And a proof that Hashem does not want to change nature is from what the Rambam writes down on the Medrash Rabbah in Parshas B'Shalach, Parsha Chof Aleph 21, Simen Vav 6, where there on the verse that says on B'Shalach chapter 14, verse number 27, where it says there, Vayet Moshe es yod al hayam, that Moshe Rabbeinu stretched out his hand over the sea, Vayoshav hayam lifreis boiker le'isanoi, and the sea turns in the morning to its normal power. The Medrash Rabbah says that we're not supposed to read le'isanoi to its normal power, we're supposed to read litnoi orishin to its original condition. The Hashem made already a condition during creation that the sea will split for the Jewish people when they are coming out of Egypt. And the Rambam explains, why did Hashem need to make a condition to the sea? And the Rambam answers that since creation, Hashem does not want to have any change in nature. Therefore, Hashem made a condition on the sea. Like that, it's not considered as a change in nature, since it was already conditioned from the time of creation. Based on this idea, Sefer Beish Mul Achron explains that this is exactly the question of the Gemara, meaning that the Gemara there asks, Manishtanu Metzora Sha'amra Toira Badot Yeshev Michutz Lamachle Meshavoy. Why is the Metzora different that the Torah tells him that he should stay alone and be outside the encampment? Meaning, as we mentioned, a Metzora has skin blemishes, and the skin blemishes causes normally a person to be depressed. And when a person is depressed, normally the cure would be that he should be together with other people. But yet here, the Torah tells that this Metzora should be outside the encampment. theoretically that is something that goes against nature, and we know that Hashem doesn't like to change nature, then why does the Torah say in the case of the Metzora that it should be outside the encampment against nature when Hashem does not like to change nature? On that, Rabbi Shua Belevi answers that since this Metzora caused strife between husband and wife, between man and his fellow, therefore Omra Torah, the Torah says that he should stay alone outside the encampment. What is the answer? The answer is the Fikach Omra Torah, that therefore the Torah says, meaning that since we know that the Torah predates creation, because the Torah was created before the creation of the world, as it's written in the Gemara in Shabbos, Daf Pei Ches Med Beis 88b, when Moshe Rabbeinu came to get the Torah in heaven, there the angels complained to Hashem and said, Chamudo Genuzo, coveted and treasured, meaning the Torah, Shagnuzaloch, that was stored by you, Teisha Meirs v'Shivim v'Arabadoiroiz, 974 generations, Koidom Shenivra Oilam, before the world was created, and you want to give to the Jewish people. But nonetheless, from that Gemara you see that the Torah was already created before the creation of the world. That means that whatever is written in the Torah predates the world. That means that whatever is written in the Torah is already conditioned in creation. Therefore, automatically this fact that the Metzora will get cured by sitting alone, it's not considered outside of nature. That is quite natural, because Lefikach Omra Torah, because since the Torah tells you that this is the cure, automatically this becomes a norm and this becomes nature. It's not considered against nature anymore. These are the words of the Beis Shmuel Acharon. According to this, the Divrei Yoel explains that this is what caused Yaakov Avinu to rethink his situation and not to worry about getting a miracle from Hashem, even from nothing. Because since Yaakov Avinu knew that the Masse Avos, whatever is happening to our forefathers, all the stories and everything that happens to them, it's already written in the Torah, then if it is already written in the Torah, then automatically it becomes a condition in creation. It becomes nature in creation. And if it becomes nature in creation, then it's not anymore Yesh Me'ayin. It's not Hashem is creating something from nothing. Quite opposite, Hashem is already creating something that was there already. Because if it's written in the Torah, that becomes nature. In the same way that the cure of the Metzora, since it's written in the Torah, even though it's against nature, but that becomes now nature. The fact that Hashem is going to help Yaakov Avinu, it's not considered a new creation, because since it's in the Torah, that now becomes the natural way and becomes nature. And that's why he stresses, Ezri Meim Hashem, that my help is going to come directly from Hashem, Oise Shomayim V'Oretz, the creator of heaven and earth. Meaning, in the same way that Hashem created heaven and earth and put the conditions in the creation, so too, since what is going to happen to me, it's already written in the Torah, then it becomes as it would be a part of the condition of creation. Therefore, it's not considered a miracle, Yesh Me'ayin, something from nothing. It's a miracle, something from something. Therefore, Yaakov Avinu wasn't afraid anymore that Hashem is going to make the miracle for him and deduct his merits, because since it's already part of creation, then it becomes regular nature. Based on these ideas, the Divrei Yoel now answers the questions that we asked in the beginning of the parasha. He first says that when the Jewish people are asking on chapter 25, verse number 20, what are we going to eat in the seventh year if it was not planted and we didn't gather our fruit? It is not that the Jewish people are lacking emuna in Hashem, that they don't believe and trust that Hashem is able to give them food and support them. Quite opposite. The Jewish people know for sure that Hashem is going to give them food. But since it was not planted and it was not gathered, then obviously the fact that Hashem is going to give them food, it is going to be in a miraculous way, because they didn't plant and they did not gather. Then clearly in a natural way, there is no food available. Then if Hashem gives us food in a miraculous way, and we have to eat it because there is no other food, then we are benefiting from a miracle. And when you benefit from a miracle, Hashem reduces your merits. And here in this case, since we didn't plant and there is no food, then the miracle could even be considered a greater miracle, like a miracle, yesh me'ayin, something from nothing, and in that case, your merits are greatly reduced because of your benefit from the miracle. And this is what worried the Jewish people. The Jewish people were saying, what are we going to eat in the seventh year, since we didn't plant and didn't gather, and you are going to give us the food, automatically that food is going to be made by a miracle, then we don't want to eat that food because we don't want to benefit from a miracle because we don't want to lose our merits. On that, Hashem answers what is written in verse number 21, which I'm going to translate the verse normally as it's translated, but then I'm going to change and say how the Divra Yoel translates this verse. And the verse says, "V'tzivisias birchos Elohem bashana shishis," and I will command the blessing to you on the sixth year. Note that the word vetzivisi is a future imperfect, because the word tzivisi is a past tense, and the vav changes the past tense to the future tense, and therefore we translate vetzivisias brichotzi lochem bashona shishis, that I will command to you on the sixth year my blessing, the osos esatvuo lishloish hashonim, and the produce will be enough for 3 years. But the Divrei Yoel says that the word vetzivisi is not a future imperfect, it's actually a past tense word. And Hashem means to answer the question of the Jewish people of how can they benefit from a miracle by saying that you don't have to worry about the miracle because v'tzivisi es birchos Elohem, I already commanded my blessing to you in the sixth year. Meaning, in creation, I already made a condition that whenever you are going to keep Shemitah, the earth is going to give on the sixth year for 3 years, so you don't have to worry about you benefiting from miracles, because the miracle really is already embedded in nature, in the same way that when Hashem made the miracle of the splitting of the sea, that condition was already given to the sea to split for the Jewish people, so too the condition was already given to the earth that every time that the Jewish people are going to keep Shemitah, the sabbatical year, on the sixth year, the blessing will come and they will have food. And according to this also, we understand now the Rashi that we ask, that it says, "V'shav Sa'aretz Shabbos Lashem," that the earth will rest a Shabbos to Hashem. And Rashi says, "L'shem Hashem," in the sake of Hashem, "K'shem Shenemar," the Shabbos Bereshis, in the same way that's written in Shabbos Bereshis, in the first week of creation. And we wondered, why is Rashi associating the loss of the sabbatical year to the Shabbos, to the week of creation? But now we understand. Rashi is explaining that Hashem is already telling us that the loss of sabbatical year were already prescribed during the week before creation, meaning that whatever happens in the sabbatical year, it's already a condition in creation. Therefore, the Torah associates Shabbos Lashem like the Shabbos of creation, in order for you to understand that all the miracles that will happen in consequence of you keeping the sabbatical year, it's already prescribed during the first week of creation. Therefore, they are not to be considered miracles, they are nature, and therefore you don't have to be worried about benefiting from them, because since they already prescribed, therefore they are not miracles anymore, and therefore you are allowed to benefit from them without worries of losing your merits. And now the Divrei Yoel answers our first question that we asked on this shiur. We asked that the verse says, "V'adabar Hashem el Moshe b'har Sinai leimor," that Hashem spoke to Moshe Rabbeinu in Mount Sinai saying, and Rashi asks a question, "Ma'inyan Shemitah etzel har Sinai," why is Shemitah connected to Mount Sinai? And Rashi says that in the same way that the laws of Shemitah were given, the general rules and the minute rules at Sinai, so too all the mitzvahs were given at Sinai. And we asked, still it's questionable, why did Hashem pick specifically the laws of Shemitah to tell you that they were given at Sinai and you should learn the whole Torah from the laws of Shemitah? Why didn't Hashem pick any other mitzvah to give the general rules and the minute rules at Sinai and I would learn from another mitzvah? The Divrei Yoel explains that according to what we just mentioned, we understand why Hashem specifically picked the laws of Shemitah to be the ones that are going to be the sample that they were given in Sinai. Because Hashem wanted to give to the Jewish people also another message by the fact that they were given at Sinai. The message that we are allowed to have benefits from the miracles that Hashem is going to make on the sabbatical year, because since the laws of the sabbatical year were given at Sinai, that means that they are written in the Torah. And Sefer Beishmul Acharon explained that anything that is written in the Torah automatically predates creation. And since it predates creation, it becomes a condition in nature, as the story with the Metzora. Therefore, Hashem specifically wanted to emphasize that the laws of Shemitah were given in Sinai, that now you know that the laws of Shemitah predate creation. Now you're not going to be afraid about using the fruits that Hashem is going to give you in order to support you during the sabbatical year and the years after, because it is not considered anymore miraculously, since it's written in the Torah, then they become embedded in nature. Therefore, they're not considered miracles. Therefore, you don't have to be afraid about using those fruits and losing your merits. So Hashem specifically lets us know that the laws of Shemitah were given at Sinai. Like that, you don't have anything to worry about the miracles that Hashem is going to make for you when you keep the sabbatical year. And Hashem Yisburach should help that we should continue to see all the miracles that Hashem does for us, even when they are embedded in nature. And we should merit to have Moshiach come, the Beis HaMikdash rebuilt, b'meheira b'yomeinu, Amen.